Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hello and welcome to Reality Check. Today is Thursday, the 17th of April, 2014, and I'm your host, Tony Pittman. This is episode 62 of Reality Check here on Joy 94.9. Reality Check is a show designed to give you a healthy dose of reality. And we do that by promoting the art of critical thinking and skeptical analysis. Each show, we bring you a roundup of LGBT news, followed by an in-depth analysis of an issue related to the paranormal or the pseudoscientific. And finally, we wrap up each show with a movie review. On today's show, after our LGBT news roundup, as it's our first show of the year, we're going to return to the oft-visited subject of psychic predictions. We'll see how our predictions fared in 2013 and make a fresh round of new ones for what's left of 2014. Plus, we'll see what some of the world's expert psychics have been predicting. Then in our movie review, we'll take a look at the movie that was Cambodia's entry for Best Foreign Language Film at this year's Oscars, The Missing Picture. So for all that and more, stay tuned here to Reality Check on Joy 94.9. Now, just before we get into our LGBT news roundup, I should mention that it's been quite a while since the last episode of Reality Check. 5.5 months, in fact. I was in Mexico for 3 of those months, plus spent a week in Cuba, and then after I got back to Australia, I've been busy finishing a screenplay. But finally, those things are out of the way, and I've found time to prepare a fresh new episode of Reality Check. So without further ado, let's get into our LGBT news roundup covering all that time since the last episode of Reality Check back on the 27th of October last year. And let's start as usual with marriage news. And once again, it's the two great Anglo-Saxon powers, the USA and the UK, that have really been surging ahead when it comes to marriage equality over these last 5 months. Let's start with the United States, where 3 more states achieved marriage equality over this time period. And actually, all that happened in the last 2 months of 2013. It's quite amazing how rapidly things are developing over there. So what happened is that the legislatures of both Hawaii and Illinois passed marriage equality bills in November, and then a court in New Mexico introduced marriage equality there by judicial ruling in December. So that brings the total number of states with marriage equality in the US up to 17 now. But that's not all that's been happening, because although winning those 3 states is important, since December there's been another phenomenon occurring in the fight for marriage equality in the US that's probably even more significant. And that is that there has been a tsunami of federal court decisions all over the country finding that state-level bans on marriage equality are unconstitutional. Hardly a week goes by now without a federal court somewhere in the US ordering that marriage be opened up to same-sex couples. And this is all as a result of the Supreme Court ruling that struck down DOMA in June last year and effectively opened up the floodgates of litigation all over the country. There are now marriage equality cases going ahead in almost every one of the 33 states of the US that don't yet have same-sex marriage. And many of those states have more than one case going on. But, I hear you ask, if so many courts are finding that bans on marriage equality are unconstitutional, then why haven't we seen same-sex weddings taking place in all those states? Well, the reason is because all those initial rulings have been stayed pending appeal to the district appeals courts, meaning that everything is temporarily on hold. So over the next few months, we're likely to start to get some decisions from some of those appeals courts. And then, most likely, those decisions will be appealed to the Supreme Court. So it's looking highly likely that marriage equality is heading back to the Supreme Court sometime in 2015. Who knows what the judges will find then? They may find that the Constitution requires that every state of the US must allow same-sex marriage. It's possible. At the rate things are moving, it wouldn't surprise me. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Now, I do need to mention two states in particular where federal court judges ruled that marriage equality must be allowed, Utah and Michigan, because in both those states there was a delay before the ruling was appealed, which meant that hundreds of same-sex couples had time to get married before the ruling was stayed. In Utah, this window period actually lasted 17 days, from December 20th to January 6th, allowing over 1,300 same-sex couples to get married. In Michigan, the window period was just one day, but still enough time for over 300 couples to get married. And those are all valid marriages recognized by the federal government. So, marriage equality continues to be a very lively issue bubbling away all over the United States. And we're certain to see more exciting developments there over the next few months. And in fact, we're going to return to the United States in just a few minutes when we get into our psychic predictions for 2014. But let's stick with news for the moment, and particularly marriage news, and let's cross the pond from the United States to the UK, where marriage equality is now finally a reality in England and Wales. The law was passed in July last year and came into effect there just a couple of weeks ago on March 29th, meaning that same-sex weddings are now taking place in London, Cardiff, and many other places across England and Wales as we speak. Very exciting. But that's not the only exciting news from the British Isles, because the other great news is that Scotland has also achieved marriage equality. On the 4th of February, the Scottish Parliament passed a marriage equality bill by an overwhelming majority of 105-18. And it'll come into effect in October, meaning that by the end of the year, the entire United Kingdom will have marriage equality, with the exception of Northern Ireland. And unfortunately, it still seems very far off there. In fact, I wouldn't mind betting that they'll probably get it in the Republic of Ireland well before they get it in Northern Ireland. In fact, the Republic of Ireland announced recently that it's going to have a referendum on marriage equality in early 2015. My guess is that it'll probably be approved, meaning that Northern Ireland will be the odd man out in the British Isles. Well, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But of course, we'll be reporting on everything that happens here on Reality Check. Now, just before we finish marriage news, we need to deal briefly with marriage in Australia, because back in our last episode of Reality Check in late October 2013, the ACT had just passed a marriage equality bill that was going to come into force in early December. Well, it did come into force on December 7th, and over the next 5 days, 31 couples got married. Until the High Court struck down the law on December 12th, finding it to be unconstitutional and voiding those 31 marriages in the process. So, disappointing to say the least, but at least there's a bit more clarity on the constitutional issues now, because the High Court has actually dealt with same-sex marriage for the very first time and declared quite clearly that it's a matter for the federal parliament, not the states and territories. Also, it was somewhat helpful that for 5 days, people across Australia saw same-sex weddings taking place in Canberra. And guess what? The sky didn't fall. In fact, they turned out to be quite harmless, even occasionally charming. Just like opposite-sex weddings, really? Who would have thought? So, unfortunately, the battle for marriage equality continues in Australia, but don't worry, dear listener, whatever developments occur, you can be sure you'll hear about them here on Reality Check. And now, just quickly, a final marriage tidbit. On the 1st of January this year, I prepared a little infographic depicting the populations of all the jurisdictions in the world that had marriage equality at that point in time. And guess what? The total number of people on January 1st, 2014, living in regions with full marriage equality was exactly 700 million. Or in other words, 9.8% of the world's entire population now live in countries or states with marriage equality. Interesting statistic, isn't it? We're so close now to 10%. I prepared a similar infographic on the 1st of July 2013, halfway through last year, and back then it was 607 million. So 6 months later, it had jumped by 93 million to 700 million. It's quite extraordinary the rate of change we're seeing. I don't know if we're going to maintain that rate over the next few years. Who knows? Well, of course, nobody knows, but we can certainly make predictions, and we'll be doing that coming up in our psychic prediction section of the show a little bit later. Now, finally, to other news, and briefly, a couple of pieces of good news. The first is that the world saw its third openly LGBT head of government. On December 4th last year, Xavier Bettel, an openly gay man, became the Prime Minister of Luxembourg. And interestingly, his deputy prime minister is also gay. It's all part of the great gay conspiracy, of course. We're taking over the world, people, and you haven't even noticed. Now, of course, the first two openly LGBT heads of government were the Prime Minister of Iceland in 2009 and of Belgium in 2011. And we've talked about them many times here before on Reality Check. And finally, our second piece of good news is that another region of the world has decriminalized same-sex activity. It's a very small region of the world. It's Northern Cyprus, which, although small, is significant because it's the last region of Europe to decriminalize homosexuality. So we can now say that it's not a crime anywhere in Europe to be LGB or T, which is clearly a positive step whichever way you look at it. The anti-sodomy law in Northern Cyprus had been a leftover from British colonial rule, but finally the parliament voted to abolish it in January this year, and it was officially repealed on February 7th, 2014. So good news there, and congratulations to all our listeners in Northern Cyprus. And always heartening to see another part of the world decriminalize homosexuality. It's not something we see very often, unfortunately. Most of those 80 or so countries with sodomy laws are quite recalcitrant about repealing them. Now, speaking of places where homosexuality is illegal, let's get on to some bad news, just briefly, because, well, we don't like to talk about bad news here on Reality Check, because generally it doesn't mark any historic turning point. It's just more of the same. Murders, violence, rape, torture, persecution, discrimination, all that stuff that's been the norm for LGBT people for centuries now. But sometimes things get so bad that we feel obliged to mention them here on Reality Check. So 4 countries in particular are worthy of mention. 3 of those countries, Russia, Nigeria and Uganda have passed vicious anti-gay laws over the last few months. Laws that are notable not so much for the prosecutions that have been taking place under them, although they have been used to arrest and prosecute people, but more notable for the anti-LGBT sentiment they've stirred up within the countries as a whole, leading to growing intolerance and increasing levels of murder and violence against LGBT people, often by self-styled vigilantes who feel they're just upholding the spirit of the law by torturing and murdering LGBT people. And the police, of course, often agree with them and even assist them. So shame, shame, shame on the politicians of Russia, Nigeria, and Uganda who voted for and signed these heinous new laws. And shame also on the judges of the Supreme Court of India, because India is the other country that's seen particularly bad news on LGBT rights over the last few months. Now, as listeners to Reality Check no doubt remember, India's colonial-era sodomy law was struck down by the Delhi High Court back in 2009, thus decriminalizing homosexuality throughout the country. And for over 4 years, it was finally legal to be LGBT or T in India. However, all that came to an end on December 11th last year when the Supreme Court of India overturned the Delhi High Court ruling and thus reinstated the British-era sodomy law, the infamous Section 377 of the Indian Penal Code. So it's now once again a crime to be LGBT in India. Incredibly frustrating. And when you think that India now has a population of 1.2 billion, well, that ruling affects a lot of people. Tens of millions of people at the very least. So very sad to see India taking such a backward step. Shame on you, judges of the Indian Supreme Court. Anyway, that brings us to the end of our LGBT news roundup for the last 5.5 months. There was quite a lot of news to get through, but finally we made it. Let's take a quick break now and listen to a song, and when we come back, we'll polish up our crystal balls and get into a serious session of psychic predictions. Want to know what the future holds for the remainder of 2014? Well, don't go away. That and more coming up on Reality Check here on Joy 94.9.
Made in Melbourne for Australia and the world. Joy 94.9.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to Reality Check. I'm Tony Pittman and the station is Joy 94.9. And the song you just heard there was Instant Crush by Daft Punk from their album Random Access Memories. And I played that song because if we're about to look back at what happened in 2013, well, that album is certainly one that marks the year 2013. It was hugely successful, both commercially and critically, and in fact won the Grammy for Album of the Year. And it's one of my favourite albums in recent years too, I must say. Okay, we now move into the part of the show where we undertake a sceptical analysis of a subject related to pseudoscience or the paranormal. And today, because it's our first show of 2014, we're going to maintain a now long-standing tradition here on Reality Check, psychic predictions for the year gone by and for the year ahead. Now, I know it's already April, so a significant chunk of the year has gone by already, but, well, we're still technically in the first third of the year, so it's still early 2014, I guess. It's not even Easter yet, so, well, that's good enough for me. Traditionally, we've always started off these psychic predictions episodes with an examination of the amazing predictions of some of the world's greatest psychics. And it's always been extremely insightful to take a look at the predictions of one psychic in particular. Yes, that sweet old hag, Sylvia Brown. But unfortunately, dear listener, this year it's just not going to be the same. There's a huge empty hole where Sylvia's segment should be because, well, I hate to be the one to break it to you, but dearest Sylvia is no more. On the 20th of November, 2013, Sylvia passed from this life to the next. She ascended to the heavenly realm to live amongst the angels. Yes, dear listener, Sylvia Brown, one of the world's most brazen and callous charlatans who defrauded thousands of people out of millions of dollars by pretending to have psychic powers, is dead. So unfortunately, we won't be hearing from Sylvia Brown this year, but don't worry, there are plenty of other celebrity psychics out there whose amazing predictions we can happily peruse. So let's have a look at some of their best predictions for 2014. Now, I've chosen a variety of predictions for today's segment from five celebrity psychics from the USA and the UK. And remember, dear listener, these people are professionals. They earn their living by selling their alleged psychic services. Yes, some people actually pay money for this stuff, believe it or not. Now, as I was looking through the pages and pages of predictions, I noticed that, well, they generally fall into three broad categories. The virtual certainties, the extremely unlikelies, and then a third category that I'm just calling the impossible to determine what they're actually predicting. So let's start with some of the virtual certainties. So remember, if you're a professional psychic, it's always a good policy to include a certain number of things that are almost guaranteed to come true, or at least have a 50-50 chance, because that gives you a good baseline of solid hits every year. So next year you can say that these predictions came true, and you won't be lying, even though they were things that were really easy to predict. For example, how about this one from American psychic Lamont Hamilton? Significant positive views about women will create a rise in global political and economic power for them this year. Now, that's called predicting a trend that's already occurring. Always a good way to guarantee a hit. Or here are a couple from another American psychic, Judy Heavenly. Yes, that's her name, dear listener, Heavenly. She predicts, U.S. economy improves at the state and national level. And, storms and quakes in South Pacific and Southeast Asia. Really going out on a limb there. Or how about these from another American psychic, Sydney Friedman? Garlic is in the news. Well, I guess if you put garlic into your Google News alert, you'll probably get a few articles every week, so yeah, sure, it's in the news, that's a hit. Okay, here's another of his. A shockwave, perhaps literally or perhaps figuratively, is felt in Russia. Now, there's a neat trick, isn't it? Perhaps literally, perhaps figuratively? Ha! Covers all bases. Smart move there, Sydney. And, of course, who defines what a shockwave is? Why, the psychic does, of course, so I'm sure it won't be too hard for him to find a way for that one to come true. And finally, let's come to a few bold and astounding predictions from our favourite psychic here at Reality Check, Psychic Nikki. Now, she literally makes hundreds of predictions every year, including death predictions for every Hollywood actor over 60, so she always gets a few of those right every year. I think this year already she's got Shirley Temple and Mickey Rooney. She's off to a good start. But let's have a look at some of her guaranteed hits for 2014. Problems with Iran. Oh, you don't say, Nikki.
Trouble in Lebanon.
Now, note the use of highly specific terms like trouble and problems.
Health issues for Prince Philip.
Oh, you think so, Nikki? He's only 92. I can't imagine what possible health issues he could have at that age. And how about this amazing and bizarre prediction?
A royal horse will pass that is used by the royal family.
Okay. I don't know how we'd even know that. Would it be in the news? Anyway, we'll give you that as a hit, Nikki. Don't worry. Congratulations, another hit there. And my favorite guaranteed prediction from Nikki for this year.
Puerto Rico becoming part of the USA.
I wonder if Nikki's ever traveled to Puerto Rico from her home in LA. I wonder if she noticed when she went there that she didn't need a passport when she arrived, and she didn't even need to change money because, Puerto Rico already is part of the USA. Puerto Rico is what's called an unincorporated territory of the United States. So, that's amazing. That means that Nikki's prediction was actually true just one nanosecond into the new year. Oh, you've got to hand it to Nikki. She's one smart cookie. Oh, if only I thought of that. I could have predicted that, I don't know, that the Pope would be a Catholic or something like that. Oh, damn. Well, I guess we can't all be as smart as psychic Nikki. Now, let's look at another category of predictions, the ones that are highly, highly unlikely. But if, of course, by some freak chance they do actually come true, well, the psychic can dine out on that for years to come. So let's look at some examples for 2014. Here's one from Lamont Hamilton. New protruding land masses or islands will start to form around Hawaii, Southeast Asia, and the Bahamas over the next year, sparking renewed interest in the legend of Atlantis. Okay, good luck with that coming true. Here's another of his. A discovery that diseases can be transmitted or transferred by pure thought from one location to another will be found. Not sure about the grammar in that. A discovery will be found. Anyway, well, maybe that'll come true. Maybe in the Journal of New Age Medicine it might be reported. You never know. And here's one from Judy Heavenly.
Vladimir Putin wins Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, yeah. That's looking really likely. Here's another one from her.
The ghost of Nelson Mandela could appear during a national holiday or major public event in South Africa.
Well, I guess she said could appear, so it's not completely certain that it will appear, but it could, I guess. Or what about this one from British psychic Craig Hamilton Parker?
The remains of an ancient civilization are uncovered in Greenland.
Greenland? Really? Okay, good luck with that. And finally, let's see a few of the unlikely ones from Psychic Nikki.
A power blackout worldwide.
Now, I'm not even sure how that would be possible, but okay.
Cuba becoming part of the USA.
Now, she predicted that last year. Didn't happen. Might happen this year, though. You never know.
Civil war will break out in the US.
Now, she predicted that one last year as well. Didn't happen either. And finally, my favorite from Psychic Nikki this year, out of everything that she's predicting. Have a listen to this.
A gorilla will eat its trainer.
What? You know, I think I'm going to set up a Google News alert for that one too. Hang on. Gorilla eats trainer. Oh man, I can't wait to get the news alert for that one. I want to be the first person on Facebook to post a link through to that video. Oh, it's going to be so hilarious. Oh, my friends are going to be so impressed. Man. Okay, let's have a look now at the final category of predictions, and these are the ones that, well, if you can work out what they're actually predicting, you're doing better than me. Let's start with this one from Judy Heavenly.
Erratic weather patterns and recorded earth shifts, together with unusual paranormal events, could be the result of us having been watched by other species in different dimensions.
Well, I could read it again, but it won't help you understand it any better, dear listener. Believe me. How about this one from Craig Hamilton Parker?
A strange luminous plankton is seen under the sea that cannot be explained by scientists. This may be linked to a strange cosmic event, such as a stellar explosion and light in the sky that changes animal behavior patterns.
Like I said, I'm not really sure what he's predicting. But, well, he probably understands it. And by the way, just as an aside, in his prediction, he spells stellar as in stellar explosion, S-T-E-L-L-A, without an R. Like, you know, the name, like Stella from Streetcar Named Desire. Like,
Stella!
Makes you wonder if these people have spell check on their computers. Now, what about this one from Lamont Hamilton?
Scientist will discover,
oh, that's scientist singular, by the way.
Scientist will discover and prove that we live in an identical twin universe that's the mirror opposite of ours.
But hang on, we live in one that's the opposite of ours, but isn't ours the one we're living in? So, which one are we living in? Oh, me no understand. These predictions are so profound. They're really doing my head in. Well, anyway, the predictions go on and on and on, and I've just tried to pick some of the more interesting ones. Most of them, frankly, are just boring or trivial, like
Kate Middleton will become pregnant again.
Yeah, things that hardly require amazing psychic powers to predict. And I've hardly mentioned all the spelling and grammar mistakes in their predictions, but I guess their minds are working on another plane. They just don't have time for little details like that. Anyway, what's the harm, you ask, with all these psychics making predictions every year? Well, the trouble is that the media give airtime to these people because, well, I suppose they're good for ratings. And so they go on the TV and radio and speak with confidence and authority. And the interviewer doesn't ever really question anything they say. And so a lot of people actually believe them. I mean, these psychics generally put on a very convincing show, after all. They're professional showmen, so it's to be expected. And the fact that they're appearing on TV largely unchallenged also perpetuates the belief that psychic powers do actually exist and that certain human beings actually have these powers and can actually predict the future. Which, of course, is ridiculous and impossible if you have a basic understanding of science and reality. But unfortunately, most people don't have a good science education and are not taught to think critically. And so often they end up worrying unnecessarily about things the psychic said would happen. Or even making plans or changing plans based on what some clever charlatan said on TV or on the radio. And that, in my opinion, is the problem with psychics who make predictions. And the media that give them airtime. Some people take them seriously and even take action in their lives based on what the psychics say. Rather than thinking carefully about their situation and taking action based on reality, which would be a lot more advisable. Now, finally, one quick comment about the professional psychics. I read a lot of pages of psychic predictions earlier in the year in preparation for today's show, and not one of them predicted what I think has been the most extraordinary and surprising event of the year so far. I mean, back on January 1st this year, was anyone predicting that within just a few weeks we'd see Europe's borders changing as Russia just decided to annex Crimea? I mean, who predicted that? No one. Not even the top analysts of international affairs, and certainly none of the so-called psychics. It just goes to show, even with the best analytical tools at your disposal, the future is always very, very hard, if not impossible, to predict. But that's never stopped us here at Reality Check, so now it's Reality Check's turn to make a few predictions of our own. So first of all, let's take a look back at some of the predictions that we made for the year ahead back in our first show of last year, recorded on the 5th of March, 2013. So first, as is now a tradition here on Reality Check, I made a prediction about which countries would achieve marriage equality in 2013. Now, rather bravely, I didn't choose France, England and Wales, New Zealand or Uruguay, because although at that stage none of those countries had marriage equality, it was pretty much a foregone conclusion that they would all get it very soon afterwards. And indeed, they all did. But no, I didn't choose them. That would have been too easy. Instead, I chose three other countries. I chose Luxembourg, Finland, and Colombia. And checking those predictions against what actually happened in 2013, well, unfortunately, neither Luxembourg, nor Finland, nor Colombia did in fact achieve marriage equality. There was certainly a lot of talk and discussion about marriage equality in those three countries, but none of them did actually really do anything about it. So unfortunately, my score so far is 0 out of 3. However, all hope is not lost, because our other tradition here on Reality Check is to also predict which states of the United States will be the ones to get marriage equality in the coming year. So I could still score some points there. So last March, my spirit guides told me that the states to achieve marriage equality in the US in 2013 would be Illinois, Rhode Island, Delaware, and California. Yes, I went out on a limb and predicted 4 states instead of the usual 3. So how did I go? Well, believe it or not, dear listener, 4 out of 4. The Rhode Island and Delaware legislatures passed marriage equality bills in May last year. Illinois did the same thing in November. And California, of course, had marriage equality restored by the Supreme Court decision on the Proposition 8 case in June. So that's 4 perfect hits for Reality Check. Plus, not only was I right about California, I even managed to predict the way that it would come about through the Supreme Court decision. So finally, a moment to savor the glory of a well-earned victory here on Reality Check. Of course, what I didn't manage to predict, and in fact nobody managed to predict, was the extraordinary pace of events in the United States last year. Because I shouldn't have stopped my predictions at just 4. I should have added 5 more. I should have predicted all 9 states of the US that achieved marriage equality in 2013. That's right, dear listener, between January 1st and December 31st, the number of states in the US with marriage equality doubled. It went from 9 to 18 in 1 year. Now, did anyone see that coming? Did any of those amazing professional psychics out there manage to predict that? No, they did not. Not even Reality Check managed to foresee that. So as well as the four states we've already mentioned, the five other states to achieve marriage equality in 2013 were Minnesota, New Jersey, Hawaii, New Mexico, and Utah. Of course, it only lasted 17 days in Utah before being put on hold, but still, as at December 31st, it was valid and same-sex weddings were taking place in Utah, meaning that at that point in time, there were 18 states of the US with marriage equality. Quite extraordinary. Okay, well, so much for 2013. Let's take a look now at 2014 and see what's going to happen over the remaining 8.5 months of the year still ahead of us. Let's make a fresh new round of predictions. And let's begin with the next countries to achieve marriage equality. And they have to do it this year by the end of 2014. Well, it's not at all obvious, but I think I'm going to have to include Luxembourg again this year because, well, come on, Belgium, the Netherlands, and now France all have marriage equality, so Luxembourg can't be too far behind. And it's now got an openly gay prime minister, so that's got to count for something. So Luxembourg definitely going back on the list. But apart from Luxembourg, it's pretty tricky. There are no other obvious candidates, so I could say no one else will achieve marriage equality this year. But that's not really playing the game, is it? So if I have to pick, I'm going to say that the rest of Europe will be quiet for the remainder of 2014 and that all the action will be over in Latin America. I think Mexico will continue to advance. There'll be movement in Ecuador, but no. On the official list, I'm going to put Colombia back again. It's got to sort out its legal situation eventually. And Chile. Yeah. Michelle Bachelet has come back into office there, promising to legalize marriage equality, and I say she'll do it this year. So that's it. It's decided. Luxembourg, Colombia, and Chile all locked in as official reality check predictions for 2014. Okay, so that's countries. What about states of the US? Well, once again, it's not at all obvious because it looks like federal courts around the country are going to continue to rule in favor of marriage equality, and those rulings are all going to be stayed pending appeal. And that appeals process may take months, if not years, and probably won't be resolved until 2015. So with that in mind, probably the only states that are going to get marriage equality this year will do it through the legislature, not through the courts. Or they'll get it through a ballot initiative in the November elections, like we saw in several states in 2012. So, the three states I'm going to predict will have marriage equality before the end of 2014 are Oregon, Colorado, and Michigan. It'll happen either by ballot initiative or by legislative action, but they're the three I'm predicting. Oregon, Colorado, Michigan. All locked in for this year. We'll come back to them early in 2015 and see how we went. Now, finally, the other predictions we always like to make here on Reality Check are our celebrity death predictions. And last March, the celebrities that I predicted were going to die were Tony Abbott, Deepak Chopra, Prince Charles, and Camilla Parker Bowles. So, how did we go? Are those celebrities actually dead? Well, I know what you're going to say, dear listener. You're going to say that none of those celebrities is actually, literally, dead. But still, I think my predictions came pretty close, because although not dead, none of those celebrities had a particularly good year. Well, okay, Tony Abbott did achieve his lifelong ambition of becoming Prime Minister, I suppose. But still, you can hardly say he's been having a successful prime ministership. I mean, by December last year, just 3 months into the job, his disapproval rating had jumped 10 points from 36% when he took over in September up to 46%, higher than his approval rating. So really, hardly a good year for him. So although he's not strictly dead, I think we came pretty close with that prediction. As for Deepak Chopra, well, okay, yes, he's also technically still alive, but I mean, he's hardly living. I mean, he seems to spend most of his time firing off a constant stream of bitchy articles and throwing hissy fits against anyone who dares to criticize him. Seems Deepak is really more testy than ever these days. Maybe having so much inner stillness has made him extra cranky. I don't know. Now, of course, he's still raking in millions of dollars from selling ineffective herbal supplements and all those books and videos and courses promoting all kinds of wacko alternative therapies and pseudoscientific baloney. But even Deepak has now stooped to a new record low. You see, in 2013, he published a new book full of Deepak-style wisdom called What Are You Hungry For? The Chopra Solution to Permanent Weight Loss, Well-Being and Lightness of Soul. Yes, dear listener, Deepak Chopra has jumped onto the weight loss bandwagon in a desperate attempt to rake in even more millions of dollars than he already has. And when you find yourself stooping that low, dear listener, selling pseudoscientific weight loss plans based on quantum mumbo-jumbo, well, your career is basically over, and you might as well be dead. So again, although he's not technically dead, I think I came pretty close with that prediction as well. And finally, as for Prince Charles and Camilla Parker Bowles, well, I mean, come on. Okay, technically they're still alive, although like Deepak you could hardly say they're living. I mean, Charlie is now 65 years old and still not king. In fact, if and when he eventually does become king, he'll be the oldest person to be crowned in British history. He's already the longest serving heir apparent. He's been waiting since he was 3. And as for Camilla, well, she's 66 now and still waiting to become queen or princess or whatever she's going to be. They both just pass their time waiting, 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 waiting for Lizzie to drop off the perch so they can finally rise to the top of the royal heap. But that can hardly be called living, really, can it? So, 4 very close celebrity death predictions there. But if I'm going to play this game fairly, I suppose I shouldn't count them as hits. Although Sylvia Brown would have. But no. No, we have to show that we're better than that here at Reality Check. So, let's see. Combining all my predictions, 3 countries, 4 US states, and 4 celebrity deaths. Well, I got the 4 US states right, but that was about it. So that comes to a grand total of 4 out of 11 for 2013. That's 36%, which is not bad at all, really. In fact, pretty compelling evidence that I do, in fact, have psychic powers. Which leaves us with just one more task for today to prove my psychic powers once and for all. Our celebrity death predictions for 2014. Alright, let's get straight into it. I'll go into a trance now and listen to the voices of my spirit guides who are telling me that Clive Palmer, Gwyneth Paltrow and Uri Geller will all die terrible tragic deaths in 2014. Clive Palmer will be walking along the beach at the Palmer Coolum Resort on the Sunshine Coast and will suddenly be dragged into the sea and devoured by a giant squid. However, the corpulent mass of flesh that is Clive Palmer will prove too much even for a 13-meter giant squid. The ferocious creature will only manage to bite off the head, leaving the rest of the body for the sharks and other fish. Gwyneth Paltrow will be at the airport in Aruba after filming Iron Man 4, and she'll be striding across the runway towards her private jet to fly back to Los Angeles, when suddenly she'll be sucked into the jet engine of a nearby 747. The only remains ever found of her will be what looks like a large puddle of tomato sauce left splattered across the tarmac. Finally, Uri Geller will be at home in the garden of his mansion in Berkshire, England, giving a dowsing demonstration for a documentary film crew, when suddenly he'll trip over on a rock and fall flat on his face, stabbing himself in the eye with the dowsing rod, which will penetrate deep into his brain, killing him instantly. The video will later become a viral sensation on YouTube. Well, there you go, dear listener. I know that may be shocking news for you to take in, but what can I say? The spirit guides don't lie. At least you'll be emotionally prepared when you finally hear the shocking news of those three tragic deaths sometime over the coming months. All right, that wraps up our psychic predictions segment for 2014. Now, before we go to a song, if you'd like to send in a comment or question on today's topic or an idea for a future topic, please send us an email. The address is realitychecktony@gmail.com. That's Tony, T-O-N-Y. You can also visit our webpage too for past episodes of Reality Check. That's at realitycheckonline.net. Let's take a quick musical break, and when we come back, we'll get into this week's movie review.
Come with us as we take you to new heights. Enjoy 94.9. Joy to your life. Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to Reality Check with me, Tony Pittman, on Joy 94.9. Also streaming live at joy.org.au and also available as a podcast to listen to anywhere in the world on your little pod. The song you just heard there was Vivir Mi Vida by the king of salsa himself, Marc Anthony. And that song was one of the most popular songs in Latin America in 2013. In fact, when I was in Cuba in January, I heard it absolutely everywhere. And it's particularly poignant to hear it so much in Cuba, given that the lyrics are all about, don't worry, don't stress about the troubles of life, try to be happy with what you've got. I guess it resonates strongly for residents of Cuba living as they do under an absurd communist dictatorship that stifles almost all their basic freedoms and has been doing so now for over 50 years. I guess living under those conditions for so long, you really have to look on the bright side just to survive. But enough about Cuba, because it's movie review time here on Reality Check, and the movie up for review today is a French-Cambodian co-production, a documentary called The Missing Picture, one of the five nominees for Best Foreign Language Film at this year's Oscars. And actually, well, Cuba is relevant to our film discussion today because The Missing Picture is about another ridiculous form of communist ideology, one that lasted a much shorter period of time than in Cuba, but was tragically much more brutal and bloodthirsty, and I would say considerably more absurd. I'm talking, of course, about the period of rule by the Khmer Rouge over Cambodia from 1975 to 1979. This led to one of the worst genocides of the 20th century, in which somewhere between 1.5 and 3 million people died. About half of those people died from starvation and disease. The other half were executed in mass killings. roughly a quarter of the population of the entire country was killed during those 4 years. All in the name of creating some kind of socialist agrarian utopia. A paradise on earth. Some kind of paradise, huh? The maker of The Missing Picture, filmmaker Riti Pan, was 13 years old and living in Phnom Penh when the Khmer Rouge swept into town in April 1975 and took everyone, literally everyone, out to the fields to end all class struggle and construct an agrarian paradise. And actually, it was exactly 39 years ago today, the 17th of April, that the Khmer Rouge took Phnom Penh. And in fact, it became a very important date to the Khmer Rouge. Just an interesting little coincidence there. Anyway, The Missing Picture is a very personal and devastating account of what happened to Riti Pan and his family during those 4 horrific years. Gradually, he loses every member of his family. Parents, sisters, brothers, nephews, nieces, uncles, aunties, cousins. Everyone dies from starvation, disease, or execution, leaving him all alone as he's transferred from one brutal labor camp to another. The movie is called The Missing Picture because there are no images, no photos, no film of what he went through. There was no one there to record and capture these atrocities for history. So Riti Pan recreates many of the scenes from his life using simple clay figurines. So roughly half the movie is archival footage, while the other half is recreations of events using these static clay figures, which are very basic but can be surprisingly moving, I must say. And it's laid over with a very personal narration about what happened to him and his family, and also about the bizarre ideology of the Khmer Rouge. Now, I really enjoyed The Missing Picture. We don't see much on film about the Khmer Rouge and Cambodia, so it's good, although always disturbing, to be reminded of just what a brutal, horrific, and crazy time that was. And I think that's what I got most out of the film, a reminder that humans are capable of believing the craziest things you can imagine, things that are completely contrary to reality, and capable of believing them on a massive scale. And of course, this hasn't just happened in Cambodia, we've seen this in many other places at many other times in history. Vast attempts at social engineering based on ideology, all of which led to catastrophe. I mean, the Cultural Revolution in China is just one recent notorious example. And of course, it's still happening in some places on Earth. Just look at North Korea. The Khmer Rouge only lasted 4 years. The North Koreans have been going at it now for over 60 years, and with no signs of ending anytime soon, unfortunately. Now, one aspect of the bizarre ideology of the Khmer Rouge is of particular interest to skeptics, because the Khmer Rouge banned all so-called capitalist medicine. They decreed that only traditional remedies could be used, which, of course, for the most part, didn't work, and tragically led to the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people from preventable illnesses, which itself contributed a large number of deaths to the overall Cambodian genocide. In other words, dear listener, so-called alternative medicine can actually contribute to genocide when applied on a massive scale. Quite a sobering thought, really. In fact, watching this film reminded me that ideology, in general, is really the opposite of skepticism, the opposite of critical thinking. Whether it's political ideology, or economic, or social, religious, whatever form of ideology it is, it causes people to interpret the world, to interpret reality, through a distorted lens, to impose a predetermined worldview on what they see. Whereas skepticism is all about trying to remove all biases, to understand reality for what it actually is, unclouded by the bias of ideology. Now, obviously, the Khmer Rouge is an example of ideology pushed to really horrifying extremes, but we here at Reality Check reject all forms of ideology. We prefer to see reality for what it really is. Now, the only element that did bother me a little bit about the film is that the filmmaker narrates the story in a kind of sometimes poetic stream of consciousness way, and sometimes his references are a bit oblique. It's not always clear what's going on. Where is he now? Who are these little clay figurines supposed to represent in this shot? I mean, sometimes I think I would have preferred a bit more of an explicit explanation as to what was going on. Still, the dreamlike voiceover and the music does have a certain charm and does create quite a unique atmosphere throughout the film. So, overall, despite its harrowing subject matter, I think The Missing Picture is definitely a film worth checking out if you get the chance. Now, just before we end today's episode, I can promise you, dear listener, that the next episode of Reality Check is not going to take as long to come out as this one did. In fact, it's already pretty much written, so expect it sometime within the next few weeks. And that brings us to the end of the 62nd episode of Reality Check. I hope you enjoyed the show. Remember to send any questions, comments, or feedback to realitychecktony@gmail.com and visit our website to subscribe to the podcast. That's at realitycheckonline.net. Have a great week, everyone, and I'll be back with the next episode sometime soon in the coming weeks. See you then.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.